When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
You know, they're paying for everything. We're not paying anymore. We have an ocean separating us. I said, we have a problem. We make the best stuff, but we can't keep doing this. And Biden should have done this years ago. He should have done it from the beginning, but he didn't. He didn't know he was there.
So President Trump speaking earlier this week, I guess, with the director of NATO there side by side with him in the Oval Office, and really talking about how we're going to continue to provide Ukraine with the arms that they're needed, but it's not going to really be direct anymore. NATO is stepping in and kind of giving Vladimir Putin and Russia the heads up that we're kind of sick and tired of your games. At least that's my take on it. And I don't know what I'm talking about, which is why we have Jim Carafano on the show to explain where I'm wrong and what this administration is doing. Senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back.
So we should start by talking about how really smart any Fry show fans are and the really smart decisions that they have made in their life, right?
Okay.
Because those who have been listening to this show for the last couple of years heard, you know, literally Nostradamus, things that were literally true that nobody else believed, but you and I said, this is going to happen. When Joe Biden got elected, we said over 10 million illegal aliens would flood into this country. We're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
When Donald Trump got elected, we said this will end decisively, and we were absolutely right. And the other thing that we've talked about many times on the show is that when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, he is not going to throw Ukraine under the rug, and he's not going to abandon NATO. So those are big questions that a lot of other people question, but Eddie Fry nailed it. Just saying.
Because I am smart enough to have you on the show, Jim. What was your reaction to that relationship, the partnership? It seems as though President Trump is strengthening our relationship with NATO. Explain this to us on what this deal means.
Well, I mean, it really is in some ways a triple win. By the way, you know, it's not NATO, right? It's not NATO buying the weapons. I know he says that, right? But it's actually Germany and Norway. So it's NATO members. It's not NATO per se. It doesn't really matter, except it's just very Trumpian to say, I'm getting NATO to do this. But it's really
it's
the
political?
Germans and Norwegians. Well, of course it is. He's making the point is that, he's making the point that NATO had become the United States protecting everybody. NATO is a collective security alliance where members of NATO have to take responsibility, particularly things that are, you know, that are close to their own territory. You know, when 9/11 happened, NATO declared Article 5, which was great, but 99.99% of the lift of defending America was done by Americans. We all worked together in Afghanistan because we had a joint thing, but Ukraine is not a member of NATO. It's not technically a NATO problem. It is absolutely a big issue for NATO, and it is vital for the European members of NATO. And so he's saying, look, you guys should pick up the ball here. And this is exactly where we're going. So there's a couple of things here. One, of course, is Ukraine is going to get the weapons it needs to ensure that there will always be a free and independent Ukraine, regardless of what Vladimir Putin decides to do. Peace, war, whatever. That's one. The second is, the U.S. taxpayer is going to get some relief here because instead of essentially giving this stuff away, people are going to pay for it. And that's going to take a burden off the U.S. taxpayer. The third thing, which nobody talks about, is we need to rebuild our industrial base. We need a lot more missiles. We need to replenish our artillery supplies and all this stuff. These purchases are going to go towards strengthening the American defense industrial base. So this is a triple win for the United States. And honestly, I don't know another president in modern history who could have pulled this off. I mean, Reagan couldn't even figure out how to get weapons to the Contras, but you know, Donald Trump, and without breaking the law, Donald Trump has achieved something that I don't think any other modern president, really since FDR kind of engineered Lend-Lease, nobody has done what Donald Trump just did.
That's impressive to hear that explanation, and it is deeper than I think is on the surface. It does feel very much like Trump strong-armed NATO, and they were like, please, please, yes, we would love to do this. But in the midst of this...
Actually, the NATO guys, they're thrilled.
They seem excited.
They are. They're getting world-class weapons for the Ukrainians, because just to be... you know, kind of rude about it, every Russian the Ukrainian kills is one Russian that the Europeans don't have to worry about. So they're strengthening their bond with the United States. They're helping a stronger American defense industrial base, which will be something that's going to is good for the Europeans as well. So they are the happy campers.
Yeah. Jim Carafano speaking.
Which means a lot, because I've been camping and there's nothing happy about that.
No.
So if you have a happy camper, it's really safe.
I'm with you. I'll take the hotel room, thanks. One of the things I heard President Trump speaking about in the Oval Office at that meeting, but he's, of course, said it many times. We hear a lot of people who are in government speak about the superiority of our American military assets, weaponry, our technology. He said the other day that we have things that are just unbelievable, mind-blowing. You wouldn't even believe the stuff we have. What can you tell us, civilians here, about the capacity of America, our defense system, compared to the rest of the world? We just got to see what they were able to do against the nuclear strikes in Iran. Are we as superior as we boast?
Well, there are some areas where clearly the United States is not only the world leader, but you literally can't compete. And as much compromising as we have done, under presidents, both Democratic and Republican, since the end of the Cold War, pretending that history was over, we need militaries anymore. The one thing we've never really compromised is on the systems that are unique to the United States, because we are a global power with global interests and global responsibilities, and we have to get everywhere in the world. And so there are some things that we do that literally nobody is in the ballpark. And submarines is one of them. Our nuclear powered submarines and the conventional, both conventional and nuclear weapons that they hold are something to behold. I mean, literally, you can launch hundreds of Tomahawk missiles from a submarine that nobody knows where it is, and you do not even know those missiles have been launched until they're banging on your door. So that's one. Of course, we're the only people with a strategic bomber fleet that is both literally invulnerable, pretty robust. We have a fair amount of these things, if you count everything from B-52s up, and just count an amazing amount of firepower, both conventional and nuclear. So that's another one. And of course, when it comes to strategic missile defenses, the ability to, you know, shoot a bullet out of the sky with another bullet, we are the world leaders in that. So, okay, we have a great tanks. Lots of people have great tanks. We still have really the untouchable aircraft carriers. I mean, nobody, the Chinese are building aircraft carriers. Nobody knows if they can fight. Ours can really fight. And when you look at things like, in the stealth aircraft range, ability to evade radar and stuff, nobody can touch what we have, and not even the Chinese with basically F-35 that they copied from us. So we're not across the board everywhere. We're United States is untouchable. Drones, for example, everybody has drones. Nobody has anything like the Patriot missile system. And the interesting thing about the Patriot missile system, which is what makes that system so scary good, is it can learn. And so the more things attack you, whether they're missiles or cruise missiles or hypersonic missiles or drones or stuff, the more the system, which is both a radar and a shooter, so it's a sensor and a shooter, the more they understand about those things and the more they can figure out how to engage with them. So actually, one of the things that's happened in this war with Ukraine is we've figured out how to make our systems go after a lot more of the things that the Russians are throwing at the Ukrainians. So not only is the Patriot missile kind of the world-class air and missile defense system, but it is actually getting better every day. So it's not across the board. It's not everything. It's not everywhere. We're not, you know, 50 feet tall. We're not, you know, an invulnerable like the Greek gods. But some of these things are literally nobody can really touch what we do. That's fair.
And is that...
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Universally understood. Does Vladimir Putin, when he sees that President Trump, who says very, at least publicly, been willing to talk to Putin and Russia and have a conversation to achieve peace, when it's not working out and Trump seems to go a little bit heavier into the support for Ukraine, does all that factor into how Vladimir Putin makes his next move?
Well, I think they just say, well, he won't use these things. I mean, that's the Americans have these things, but they won't use them. And the one thing that has made Donald Trump really on par with Ronald Reagan as kind of the great post-war presidents is that they have both built militaries not to conquer the world, not to start needless wars, but to tell enemies, back off, Jack. And they've used those militaries just enough in a way that's not risky, but in a way that demonstrates that this is not a nation that you want to fool with. You know, I'll give you a good example, right? The only huge mistakes we made is when George Bush did the second invasion of Iraq, literally the entire world was in shock, including the Iranians, who were completely cowed. Then we made this stupid decision that we said, okay, well, we're not going to bother Iran at all. And then that was the Iranians' excuse to just IEDs and everything else and stuff. And so peace through strength is developing the capacity, but having a demonstrable, you know, willingness to use it and not be reckless about it. And I think that what distinguishes a Trump from a George Bush on one end, who's maybe a bit reckless in some of these things, and an Obama or Jimmy Carter or a Biden, who are just afraid to do anything.
Well, we appreciate. I love that, knowing the strength, the flex that our American military is, and room for improvement. And it seems as though we have a president who's willing to invest in that continued improvement. It makes me feel safer.
I think so.
All right.
We are gonna be the masters of using artificial intelligence on the battlefield. I believe that, and that is going to take us another generation ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm not trying to say that we got everything figured out and we're perfect and we don't have any vulnerabilities and there aren't areas where we're weak. I'm not saying that, but I'm only talking about the stuff that you and I know about.
Right.
Yeah. I remember the day that, you know, in the Panama War, when I was F-117 or whatever, the first stealth fighter flew its first combat mission. I'd never even heard of that thing. Like, all of a sudden this thing shows up and it's like, where did that come from? And this happens, right? I mean, sometimes we advertise these things, but sometimes we don't talk about it. I remember a guy who was with the cyber guy said, he goes, Jim, he says, we have some things that nobody else in the world even knows about. That was the good news. The bad news is we can't defend ourselves against some of these things. So, but I'm saying is you know, investing, you know, this is the mistake that we've always made as a country. We kind of get on this thing where we spend a lot of defense and then we don't spend anything on defense. And, you know, we wax, we wane. The smart, you know, invest in defense over time. It winds up being cheaper in the end. And it creates a sustained capability to make the world more peaceful, because there's an indisputable reality in modern human history. when the United States is actually strong in defending its own interest, and it is both feared and respected in the world, the reality is that the world as a whole is more peaceful. Now, it's not, I'm not saying there's no problems, no wars anywhere, and nothing ever bad ever happens. I'm just saying that historically, when America is strong and looks after its own interest, the world is more peaceful, not less. I'm not saying the world's trying to be the world policeman. I'm not trying to solve everybody's problems. I'm not saying take over the world, put the American flag up over Greenland. I'm just saying that when you actually just look after your own backyard, it actually ripples across the planet and makes bad guys say, I'm just going to go on vacation this year.
Yeah. Ugh. So much, like you said, the wax and the wane, so much that gets wrapped up in the political sphere.
Right.
At least we have a stark comparison and can hopefully draw from that.
Somewhere in the bowels of Beijing, there is a little altar where some tiny little Beijing guy is on his knees praying for the election of Gavin Newsom. I'm just telling you.
Somewhere. Let's leave him there. Jim Carafano, we appreciate you. Thank you for being with us today.
All right, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good talking to you.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.